Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Help! I don't know why I thought I'd say that.
I don't
just
either.
Help, you know, I just
Your
thought
voice kind of cracked, too.
I know. I'm kind of
going
a little froggy.
Going through puberty again?
Could be for like the 59th time. Anyway, it's good to be here. In the studio with me today, I've got...
The thorn in the side.
Why don't you just go ahead and
CJ.
Introduce yourself?
CJ, here we go. I'm right here.
Yeah. That's it? That's all you got to say about yourself? That's it. You got
this
all
it.
The time.
You're
out of time now. All right, we got CJ in the house. We're going to be talking about this thing that we have a lot of challenges about as men, because this seems to change all the time. It's called priorities. Mm. What's that look like? What is a priority, and why do we need them? And why is it necessary as a follower of Christ to stay in line with the priorities? Anyway, and what chapter in the Bible will you find priorities? So we're going to talk about that here momentarily. But we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement for the men. And I know that CJ comes prepared every morning when he's on the radio show to be able to give
away what I've received, right?
Whatever. Yes. So anyway, so what do you got? You got anything today for the guys?
Yes, yes, yes. The more I've been beaten up on this. I don't want to say dead horse. Because it's not, but beating up on this a lot about trials and tribulation, because a lot of men, they're always complaining, and I'll even catch myself complaining to God about the stuff that we're going through. But the more and more we walk with God, I think we realize that without those trials and tribulations, we're not going to be able to give anything away to be able to help encourage others. This is from 2 Corinthians. I know that you like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So therefore, if we don't go through any trials, tribulations, we're not going to be able to receive any comfort from the Lord, and if we don't receive any comfort from the Lord, we're not going to be able to give it away. So the only way for us to be able to know God's love and mercy and comfort that he has for us is to be able to go through, to walk through the fire, and he will be with us, and it's not fun, and sometimes it does burn more than we like, but after we get through it, then we can instruct and teach others on the faithfulness of God and what he has done in our lives. So that is what it means to also give away what we have been given, is that when we have gone through things, when we've experienced things, we are to give it away, help encourage and exhort others, and also in a sense that's evangelizing. So we each can do our own part in evangelizing by trying to reach out to those who have gone through what we have gone through in order to help them. So that's where I'm at. That was the encouragement.
All right.
Here we go.
Can you do it with a smile? I mean, it's like you're just...
I got this sinus problem. I forgot to take my medicine last night, so I got this constant dripping back in my throat. So it's just, it's bugging me right now.
What does that have to do with your encouragement?
No, it has to do with me smiling because I'm constantly trying to swallow.
Anyway, all right, that's good. That's good stuff. All right, so let's move on.
Let's get on the topic.
Let's just go on to the topic.
All right.
Okay, you want to...
Okay, well, where I came from this, you were laughing at me for coming up with this earlier, is that I was contemplating that if I were to die in 2 weeks, I would probably treat people in my life different. I would put the important things first that need to be first. I would concentrate on loving a lot more. I would do everything much more. I don't want to say much more better, but I guess that's kind of what it is. But the thing is I wouldn't be complaining about trying to get up early and seeking God and then trying to spend the rest of the day with the families. Because if you know you're going to be gone in 2 weeks, you're going to do everything you can to get right with God and get right with your family and get right with your loved ones. Spend time, not even just get right with them, but to spend the time with them, to love them, to adore them. You're not going to be getting upset over little things. It's just not going to happen. So I think if we all look at things like that a little bit, we take it a different perspective on life instead of just going through every day just complaining and complaining against God about where we're at and what we're doing in our life, although most of the reason why we're at where we're at is because our own iniquity in life, it seems like, or the consequences of our own iniquity that we have done in the past. But if we focus on what we're supposed to focus on, the priorities that we were talking about, God first, family, and then the order is supposed to go in, I think our life would be abounding much more in love, and our relationships with God and others around us would flourish much more if we weren't so focused on ourselves, because that's usually what happens when we get caught up in complaining. We're having a pity party on ourselves, and we're not doing the two great commandments, I should say. So,
all right. Well, dictionary on priority is very simple. It says a thing that is regarded as more important than another. A priority.
More important than another.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good definition.
A thing that is regarded
as
more important than another, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. So how important are priorities?
Oh, they're crucial, really, in your walk with God, because if your priorities are out of whack, then your walk with God is going to be out of whack.
But even a priority when you're not in a relationship with God? Aren't they crucial? Aren't they?
Yeah,
important?
If you're working 80 hours a week and you're not spending time with your family, or you're hanging out with your friends on the time that you have off from work, your family's going to suffer, your marriage is going to suffer, the relationship with your kids and wife, it's all going to suffer, put a strain on it. So it is. It's very, very important that we prioritize. But you know, the thing is, prioritizing takes a lot of dedication and hard work. And a lot of us don't really want to do that. We don't want to actually sit down and say, this is important, this is what I want to do. We just go with the fly of things, it seems like, and we just will do what we want to do.
Well, when it talks about the priority being more important than another,
mm-hmm.
I guess the key word here would be important.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the meaning of importance? The state of being of great significance or value.
So something that has great value to you,
or great significance.
Well, I think you know, and that also shows you if where your great value does lie in life, depending on what you do put first.
Right, because there are guys who actually, doesn't matter what they believe in, it doesn't matter whether they believe in God or not.
Yes, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they each have their own values.
What is it that you put of value? This is more important.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time in my life where alcohol and drugs were more value than anything else,
mm-hmm.
okay, because I needed to have my comfort, okay? So it's what's important to you. That's what was important to me at a time in my life.
You know what I think, what wraps that up in, and I know there's a lot of others, so what it comes down to is if you are more important than everyone else, you're going to have problems in your life, because then you're going to have, like, the addictions, you're going to have the lust of the flesh, you're going to have all that that's going to be impacting you. If you view yourself as more important, you value yourself more than others, more than your wife, more than your kids, that's the everything.
Okay, so what's another word for that?
Well, I don't
know. How about selfishness?
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was, I learned this a long time ago, 30-some years ago, selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of all my problems.
I agree.
That's the root of all my problems.
I agree.
Me.
Well, it's the looking in the mirror, not out the window.
It's not about circumstances and everything else. But the fact is that I'm the one that makes the decision on what's important in my life. Okay? But sometimes I base that on what other people are thinking of me. Maybe I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to make my decisions that I think are, that people would think that this is important in my life, mm-hmm. when it really isn't. Okay.
Yeah. It all comes back to about what we want others to think. It all revolves around us when we start valuing our life more than others around us.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
And every time we know from our own experiences, because of the walk that God has allowed us to be able mm-hmm. to go through, that He still loves us despite our sins and the sinning that took place in our lives.
Amen.
And continues to take in. He still loves us. He says, man, I created you for a reason and a purpose. But the fact is that unless I have a relationship with Him, meaning I'm going to communicate with Him. See, if I have a relationship with somebody, I'm communicating with them.
Yeah.
It might not be a great communication.
But you're communicating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my relationship may be, I mean, I have a guy that I don't talk to very often. He used to be a very close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I talk to him maybe once every 2 months. Something like that. We make a phone call. One of us call. Hey, how are things? You know, just get caught up. He's not in my everyday life every day. Is he not a priority? Well, when it comes to my life today, he's important in my life, but he's not a priority of things that I need to
of
the high value of things that I need to take care of. There was a time in my life where he was very, very important. His friendship's always going to be of value to me, and I'll always be grateful for that relationship and what's still taking place. I just thank God that we're still able to stay in communication. Mm-hmm. My point being is that we have relationships with people, and depending on how important they are to us today, mm-hmm. will determine how much time we spend with them.
I think that's so. Okay. What it comes down to is how much do we value God in our relationship with Him?
Well,
how much time we spend
hey,
in with
can't
Him?
Get one by on you today.
Watch out there!
I'm telling you. So
look out there.
What it comes
now.
Down to is the simple fact is that. Today, and priority-wise, my life has to be different than what it was before.
Amen.
If I believe what God's Word is telling me is that I am a new creation each and every day, and so are you, for those of who seek God, okay? Now, if we're not seeking Him, well, then you need to, have a cup of coffee. Let's talk about this, you know? Why is He not the most important thing in our life today?
Oh, it comes down to self is why He's
Well, yeah, because we have the lures, okay? You have the temptations. You have all those things.
Life.
That are Well, life in this world today.
Yeah.
Okay? There are a lot of lures, a lot of things to distract us. That's why when you have people who live simple lives, didn't meet with a guy. I ended up talking with him via email. He sent me an email who gets my weekly videos and encouragement. He lives, him and his wife live in Alaska in a remote place. I mean, he's not even in the town. I mean, he's out in the wilderness.
Have you ever met him?
Yeah, I remember who he is, but I haven't seen him in years. But anyway, he ended up responding to one of my emails. Say, hey, I've been gone for, and it's been a couple of years since I've seen him. But that's where he lives now.
Wow.
Okay. And now he is going to have a simple life in a sense. Okay. He doesn't have a lot of the things.
Oh,
of
you
the
mean
world.
You mean his area life. His area where he's living. Yeah.
He's out in the wilderness, okay? So, but he has to sustain his own, their lives by making their own food or hunting and fishing and all of that sort, okay? And protecting, doing the things that are a lot different than what we have to do. We wake up and worry about the traffic, you know, getting from point A to point B. Man, that traffic is going to be terrible today. What am I
doing?
I wish I didn't have
temper.
To do that. Instead of having to think about protecting myself from wolves and from predators and everything else that's going to, you know. Is that a better life? Not necessarily. It is for him, you know, but for others it may not be, okay? My point being is that a priority that is something that is important to us, okay? And what's the importance? Well, the importance is the simple fact that it's of value to us, right? How was it that I just said? The state of fact of being of great significance or value.
So we need to get to the point where we value God more than everything else in our life in order for the rest of our life to go, I don't want to say in order, but to go well with us in a sense. I mean, we do. We got to put God first. If we put other things first, like our wife or even our kids first. You know, that's one thing I pray about all the time is that God would not allow me to love my wife or my kids more than him. A lot of people don't. They think that is ridiculous, but I know if I start loving my wife or my kids more than the Lord, then my priorities are way out of whack. Because without the Lord, if I don't love him, then I'm not going to be able to have the love. I'm not going to be able to love my wife and kids the way I'm supposed to.
So, well, our love for the Lord is going to be a little bit different than that for our children. Yes, and we're going to talk about that here after the break. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these are some things that need to be clarified sometimes.
Yep.
I believe, at least they had to be in my own heart, before I actually moved on into
Well, I think it helps organize life a little bit more when we understand how our priorities are supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's something about the loving the Lord. It is loving him is different than loving our wives. That's where I wanted to go with this. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this relationship with the Lord, how it becomes a priority.
Hmm.
Should it be at the top or in the middle of that priority list? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com.
You know the effort I have given, and you know exactly what it cost. Though my innocence was taken, not everything is lost. Not everything is lost. No. But your love, the only thing that matters is your love.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the studio. And you know what? This thing on prioritizing and having, you know, where is God in the realm of our priorities on a daily basis? You know, is he the first thing that you acknowledge when you awaken in the morning? Or is he come later after a cup of coffee and as you sit down and read a devotional or maybe even open his word? Is that when he comes into the picture? So if you were to look at it that way, then I guess maybe he comes after a cup of coffee, after you have a little, maybe you go to the bathroom, maybe you, whatever it is, now it becomes a priority.
You know, I think that kind of hits home a little bit more as how you said, does he come after you have a cup of coffee? If we have, that can be exploded in our life about a lot of things. Does our I just started coaching my boys' wrestling team, and I know I've been convicted on not even praying before I go in there. Why? Because I'm more focused on wrestling than I am on him. The only reason we're able to go do anything is because of him. So therefore, my priority at that time was more focused on that aspect of my life than it was on him. So have I woke up in the morning and not thought of God right away? Yes, I have. And have I asked for forgiveness? Yes, I have. Because it is. The simple fact is if we have food and drink before we think of him, we're more concerned about ourselves. And we're more concerned about ourselves. That shows where Our value is, or let me put it this way, it shows what we value more in life. We value our pleasure, our comfort, more than it does our love for the Lord. And we got to get to the point where our love for the Lord exceeds everything by far. If we are wrestling with still keeping the things in the flesh, like for me, it was lifting. I was still, when I first started coming to Banner Brothers, I was getting into, but I still wanted to keep what I wanted from the world. My drug of choice was lifting, was the physicalness, was that. That was my drug. I wanted that, and I wanted God. As God had grace on me, and as we walked, or as I walked with him, and he walked with me, he opened my eyes and made me realize that I can't value myself the same as I value him. I have got to value him much more than myself. And when we get to the point where we value him much more than ourselves, then we start wanting his will to be done. We don't want to do our will. We are happy with what he wants us to do in our life. We love the things we used to hate, and we hate the things we used to love when we get to that point. So there's a point, and even now, I don't really go to the gym too much anymore, but it's because I don't fiend for it. I don't really cherish it like I used to. And good so, because I was indulged in myself. And through that, my life, a lot of calamity came to it. So God, by his grace, allowed me to be able to put him first. And then when I did that, everything else seemed pretty easy to put away. So my love for the world, my love for my own lust, for sleeping around, doing whatever it was, took, I mean, I don't want to say took a back seat. I don't do that. But what it was is my whole value system changed is when I started walking with the Lord and truly wanting to seek him. So everything changed when I decided to make that walk with him. So the problem comes is when we want the Lord and we want some of what we want. You can't have both, because what you're saying is I value what I want and I value God, but they're on the same level here. And you can't
somewhere
that
along the line, you have to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. You can't. Sure, you can ride the fence as long as you.
You don't want to be on that fence when you die, though.
But the thing is, you mentioned before, you used the analogy that in a couple of weeks, if I were to die, what would my life look like today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's going to look different, because you're either probably going to try to get by with no sleep, because there are a lot of things you want to do.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
A lot of things
see.
You want to get and take care of, especially when you know that this means eternity. You're gone. I mean, you know, when death takes place, you are an eternal being.
Yeah.
We're created that way. Where we live for eternity, that is decided by what we do right here, what we're doing on this earth.
Yeah, we don't get a second chance.
Of time, you know, for the number of days that we're on this earth, this is what's going to determine where we're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
And we think that sometimes because we know Jesus, or we said that we'd follow him, but we don't do what he has asked us to do, that we're going to be in heaven with him.
Read Matthew
Bible,
7 on that one.
That's
a humbling
that
verse.
We need to be aware of, and that's his word that is actually going to let us know everything. The point being is that none of us have. Jesus talks about it and reminds us that, hey, we're not supposed to be worrying about tomorrow, because none of us have any guarantee we're going to be here tomorrow.
No.
Nobody.
Mm-mm.
We've seen it in our own lives. We know people, we've experienced it, we see it on the news, whatever. Those at different ages or whatever could be caught in an accident or whatever, and they're done.
Well,
done.
I think the problem with nowadays is that, one, death is known by a lot of media the way it is, so death isn't like what it should be. We just view death as like way, way out there. It happens all the time, but it's not near. And then when death does happen, we don't really think about it. We try to ignore it. No one wants to think about death anymore. And I think if more people actually sat down and thought about their death, about where they're going to be after they die, I think a lot more value systems will change in life, because none of us, as you said, have a guarantee for tomorrow. And that's what that is taking day by day. If you take today, you focus today on what you're supposed to focus on. Don't be concerned with, oh, I got to work. I got to do all this. I got to go have fun with my friends. I got to do this. If you're not here tomorrow, I guarantee you're going to wish that you wouldn't have done those things. I bet you're going to wish that you'd spent the time with God, with your family, with your loved ones. Yeah. And so I think we just need to, I don't want to say we need to think about death all the time, but I think we need to keep our eyes focused on, and I don't want to get this misconstrued here, keep our eyes on eternity, as in a sense that we need to keep focused on what direction, if we're going on a direction toward hell or on a direction toward heaven.
Well, here's the best way to be able to stay focused on that without thinking of it as
a distant
thing, or even a painful thing or whatever, is that your priority, you were manufactured, you were created by something.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
And that something loves you and cares about you. You are created for a purpose.
Amen.
That's like there's not an owner of a business that manufactures something that doesn't have a purpose for what he's manufacturing.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. This is what this tool is meant to do, is to be able to loosen this nut, whatever. That's what this tool does.
Yeah.
I created this. I made this.
For
this reason. Okay. So he sends them out there. There are even directions on how to use the tool. Some tools don't need a direction. An open-end socket is, you sit there, for those of us who know a little bit about tools, knows that this only fits on certain heads of nuts, right?
Yep. And
okay.
And
if you don't put it on the right side, it doesn't turn the nut. Yep. Okay. Here's the deal. If we're not sure how we're supposed to be used, all we have to do is get in touch with the manufacturer.
Amen.
We just need to talk with him. We need to just seek him.
Amen.
He will he'll know. He'll know you're seeking him.
Yeah.
And he'll say, here I am. Here I am.
That's what it comes down to is seeking him. And it's not, it is seeking him, but it's actually truly wanting it. A lot of people be like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to seek the Lord. I didn't hear from him, so I guess I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. So, because I know I was like that. Well, I didn't get a sign. I asked for the sign. I asked for the mist on the fleece out there. I didn't get it, so I'm just going to, that must mean that I can keep doing what I'm doing. So,
see, you might have lost some guys by talking about the fleece.
What's he talking about,
a blanket? We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to read, so get your Bible out, Matthew 22. Go to Matthew 22. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night, at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now?
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Matthew 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him. I don't believe I just said that. I can't believe I'm trying to get to the good stuff, and I just. Oh my gosh!
Restart over.
No. I got to get to the. Otherwise, I'm going to lose it here. Anyway, they came to Jesus. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, he's talking to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The very last line means that all the Ten Commandments, all the commandments that he's given us, that they would fall into these two. They fall right in there. Mm-hmm. Either you love the Lord your God with everything you got, okay, nothing else matters, or you love others.
Yeah, it's you do or you don't. It's not
nowhere
right
in there in any of the laws to say about what you're going to get, why you're being mistreated, why you're not getting what you think you deserve, and why you're not none of it, okay? So that's part of why this priority is that Jesus, that God has to be number one.
So I want to get to this before we don't have time. Could you explain to him the figurative wall that there is?
Oh, the wall that
that's what I want to get to before we.
We're not going to be able to do this. I should probably have to put that on the website so they can just see it so they get an idea.
Well, explain
but,
it.
Here's the deal. In making decisions on what is important in my life today, I actually, on my wall, I have a cross that's at the very top of it, okay? That's a cross that reminds me of Jesus, okay?
And what comes first?
He comes first. He's at the very top, okay? Right below that, I have a picture of my wife and I together, okay? And below that, I have a picture of my family, all of five of our children and all of our grandchildren and my son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, okay, the whole family, okay? Underneath that, I have a picture of the ministry, okay, of what's taking place in the ministry on a Tuesday night, using just that as a premise. Yep. And I call that my priority wall, okay? That in everything that I do, in decisions I make, I look at that wall. I'm so aware of it. It's been there. I've had it that way for so long that in everything that I'm, whether I'm in my office or in my home or not, I still think of that.
That wall,
that
figuratively,
wall. Does it fall in line with what God wants me? Okay. So in other words, am I putting certain things in my life above my relationship with my wife? Okay. Am I finding that I'm putting ministry or work, something above my wife, more important? Remember what we talked about, the priority, what priorities mean, okay?
Values,
And the important, if it has more value, am I putting that above my family and above my wife, okay? Is God, does he take a step down and all of a sudden my priority for a vacation, of making more money to be able to go on a vacation with the family, does that become more important? God becomes, he steps down, you know?
I think that's where we need to go, is that in everything that we do, we have to compare it to this wall, in a sense. We have to see where in order is this line. Is this more important to me than my kids, than my wife, than my Lord? If it comes in more importance, as you said, vacation, let's say you got to save $5,000 to go on this vacation you want, and all of a sudden you're working 70 hours a week, you're not involved in the church anymore, your relationship with your wife has gone down, you're not doing date nights
with
her.
Nope.
So all of a sudden, that has become much more of a priority and a value than your family. So I think in everything that we do, we need to compare it to this figurative wall of Christ, wife, family, ministry, or work, and then ministry, whatever's.
Well, you know, a big part of this is you got to remember, at least this is how it kind of came to putting this together, is that first and foremost, my relationship with God has got to be first and foremost. Because my his relationship, God created Adam. Now, I'm not saying that I'm Adam, okay? But no, he created Adam first, the man, okay? And God gifted Adam, his very first thing he gave him, okay, was his presence, was God's presence.
Amen.
And that is what should be a priority.
That's at
to
the
us.
Top, yep.
At the very top. Yep. I mean, God created us. He allowed us. He manufactured us. He wove us in our mother's womb, okay?
For the sole purpose of relationship with him.
Exactly.
That's it. Yep.
Exactly.
So that needs to come first.
And so he gave us purpose. He's going to be able to let us know what that is. Guess what he did? He figured that man probably not going to be able to do this by himself. I'm going to give him a helpmate. Because he cannot create family without having a helpmate, right? Come on, let's think about it. A lot of guys like making love to themselves, okay, by themselves.
It doesn't work.
Okay, it doesn't work. You can't make a family that way, okay? Some guys are going, what? Where's he going with this? Well, you shouldn't be doing that. That's what I'm saying.
Amen.
On that.
Amen.
But the simple fact is that God created woman to be the helpmate for man.
Okay? And, it's not... And I want to get this through because a lot of people think, oh, she can help bring in an income. She can help do this. It's to help with everything. But a lot of it's also to help you both spiritually grow. When you stumble, when you are weak, your wife is there to help pick you up, to encourage you. When she is stumbling and weak, you're there to do it too. So you both are there to encourage and uplift each other, to help each other's relationship with Christ, who's at the top.
Okay. Well, a big part of it is that her... I tell you, I'm going to maybe lose some people here who are listening. Yeah. They're going to sit there and go, what? Man has been given, you've been given a vision. Mm-hmm. God has given you a vision. And the woman, does she have vision? Yeah, she does. But she's the helpmate for you to have your vision come to fruition, to come alive, okay? Because God has something intended, okay? He wants you to have a family with her. It may not necessarily mean, so if you and your wife are unable to have children, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to have children. There are children out there that are wanting to be in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants them in your family. That could be part of the reason why you don't have children. There's someone specifically that God wants you to have in taking care of them. Okay? So as a result of that, the man takes care of the business that God has in store for him. In Deuteronomy 6, it says that you teach these to impress them upon your children.
Instruct them in the fear of the Lord.
Yes, and so that they know all about the law of God.
That's your wife, too. A lot of people just think that's just children. That's your wife. That's your whole family.
That's your family. That's your family. That falls on ours. Now you're sitting there and thinking, wait a minute, that's the Old Testament. Okay, here's the deal. Okay. In the New Testament, God just said what he just said to you and I in Matthew 22. Yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love others as you love yourself. And all of this falls into the category.
The Ten Commandments.
All the law and the prophets. Yeah. This falls onto that. So here's the deal. We can use every excuse as to why we can treat our wives a certain way or not love them so much or be able to be affected by them or our circumstance. If only I had a different wife, if only I had different children that paid attention, if only. Stop with it already.
Amen.
Get into the Word of God.
Yeah,
and don't do it by yourself.
Yeah.
Get it with other men who you actually see the way that they live. You hear how they live, and you're questioning them. So ask them. Go have coffee with them. Say, okay, I hear you say these things, and you act this way. How come you act like this? What was your
What's
life before?
On?
You might be surprised at what you might end up hearing. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back because we have sponsors that I hope that you listen to the announcements on them. And we appreciate our sponsors and their generosity. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Every life is unique, Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com. And you want to get away from the madness. You just call my name and I'll be there. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the closing moments here of, there was no way that we were going to be able to put even more than what we've already put in here as far as priorities and what is important in our lives. Brother, I challenge you to actually create something similar to what you just heard me talk about, that I have a cross that resembles the Lord, okay, at the top of my list. Okay, or on the wall, wherever, whatever that is. And then whatever pictures you have of whatever that would remind you of those things that are important in your life, and ask the Lord to put them in perspective. Amen. The way that you see that He's telling you, the way that He sees it, because we want to do what He wants.
Amen.
Brother, we can always do what we want. We can seek that. The world is always telling us and giving us things to seek. If you buy this, if you drive this kind of car, if you have these kind of friends, if you drink this kind of coffee, you're going to have these kind of people in your life. No, brother, that's not what it's about. If you end up seeking the Lord, you're going to get more than you bargained for.
Amen.
You know?
We right before the break, I want to touch on this about the man being the leader. It's like the CEO of a company, if he is just worried about himself, his company will eventually fail. It may do well for a little bit, but it'll eventually fail. If that CEO cares about his company, he will instruct it. He will correct what needs to be corrected. He will do what he needs to do to learn to be able to instruct the rest of his company so it does well. Same thing with us as men of the households. If we don't instruct our families the way we're supposed to, then our company, our family, isn't going to run the way God intended it. And if our value isn't God first, if we don't value Him above everything else in our life, then the rest of our family is not going to run so smooth. Our company, in a sense, is not going to do well. So we got to, as leaders of the family, we've got to put our selfish needs, and we've been revolving a little bit around this about the selfishness of man, in a sense that we got to subdue our selfishness, our own wants, our own needs, and learn to do the Lord's will and to put other people first. The two great commandments that we spoke earlier of, Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second, I don't even like to say love Him as yourself, because a lot of people say, oh, that means I can still love myself a lot. I like to say, you love others more than yourself. You put others before you, period.
But here's what it means that plain and simple, so that there's an understanding here, is that when you love yourself, do you take care of yourself? Yeah. Do you feed yourself when you're hungry? Do you go to the bathroom when you have to go to the bathroom?
When you're cold,
do you put on something warm? When you want to stay dry, do you get under shelter?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, what you would do for yourself, you do that for others.
Amen.
Okay, that's what it comes down to. And when we do that sort of thing, guess what? He blesses us to the point of just, you know, it's like,
well, our families are fruitful. We're fruitful. We have a good relationship with people around us, our families. There may be trials and tribulation. And this is where I think the fruitfulness of having the wall in order is, when you go through a trial tribulation, you or your family, you guys still maintain. You stick together. You hold strong in the Lord. And you're fruitful even in the middle of it all. You don't fall apart in the middle of chaos.
One of the things that you want to remember, and I know this because I'm a guy, is that I'm visual. Guys are visual. Yeah. When you can actually see something and look at that more often, this priority wall, you might want to just put it in, you might just write it out. You might just paint it out on your in your garage, on your garage wall, maybe where you spend a lot of time. Amen. You just put up there, you know, God, your wife's name, then your family, your, and then, you know, maybe
something to visualize something, it, yeah.
So that you can actually see it. And if anything ever moves God from that top notch or anything else moves
so
around,
down.
It's going to actually create some
you
challenges.
Can't throw a
in
wrench
your
into
life.
That.
So,
what's going to
yeah, a wrench.
Yep.
Open socket wrench.
There you go.
All right. Well, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
All right. Lord, I thank you for your grace that you've given us today that allows us to be able to seek you and to love you. I ask for more grace today that we would be able to put you first, that you would give us an understanding, a revelation of our life about the priorities that we do put out of order sometimes, Lord, that you would give us the ability to put our life in the order that you want us to put it, Lord. So please bless the men out there. Give them
revelation.
revelation of what your value system is, Lord. So please bless us and anoint us this day, I pray, in Jesus' name.